And you are listening to the Martinez Perspective podcast. This will be put up immediately on alt-right.com and broadcast exclusively there from now on. All of my videos and interviews will be posted there. Today I have a special guest, someone I've known for a long time. His blog is the Fitzpatrick Informer. How are you doing today?
Good. Good to be here. How are you?
Great. So we've known each other for a while. I guess we both got started kind of around the forums back in the days, right? The anti-Zionist forums that went around there. And it was interesting because back in those days, even the criticism of Jewish supremacism, the Jewish question, was totally taboo even within conspiracy circles, right? So you and I were kind of two of the first kind of people on the internet really pushing that narrative out there and breaking the taboo on it. And do you remember those good old days?
Yeah, and there was some really good forums back then. And fortunately, a few of them have been shut down. But yeah, good times.
Yeah, and it's amazing how quickly it's all changed. And basically, you know, that kind of line of research has become pretty much standard within the alternative, quote unquote, alternative media, right? So yeah. We did play a pretty big role in some of that. You know, I don't want to exaggerate my role or your role in that, but we definitely had our presence on the internet for a long time, and a lot of that information came through those forums and various blogs that were going on. So what are you up to now? What's going on? What's your main focus?
My main focus now is on the whole Soviet narrative angle of this Jewish conspiracy. I probably came red-pilled on Russia probably about, I don't know, a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago. Just started out with a little bit of questioning of some of the narratives on RT. I even posted a blog about how, like, RT putting out conflicting messages, and just sort of left it at that. And then I came across some of your work and some of other people's work, like Christopher John Bjerknes and Brendan O'Connell, and then things just started clicking. So it really sort of, the whole Soviet narrative really sort of fits all the pieces together, where if you don't have that aspect to it, it sort of it doesn't make as much sense, it seems.
Well, the Putin worship thing, I was always skeptical of that from the beginning, because I had seen numerous documentaries and read some books that went into some of the dirty dealings with Putin early in his career. So I never really jumped on that bandwagon and was skeptical of it, which, you know, caused me quite a lot of feedback from these Putinist types in the alt media. So I think I remember, like, the first article I put out on that was like 2014. Like, that was a lot way before most people started coming around to that. Even Brendan O'Connell was, you know, promoting the same stuff, right? Oh, Russia Today is a great source of information. There's no disinfo on there. The West is evil. Russia's good. Iran is good, right? It's just hogwash. It's nonsense, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what role does Russia play in terms of spreading this narrative that, you know, we have to kind of accept that the West is evil and is the enemy and is the headquarters of the New World Order, and they're just the white hats, the good guys that are going to come in and save us? Where does this come from?
Yeah, it seems that sort of the narrative right now, I guess the narrative since at least the 1970s, started to write a little bit about Operation SIG, which was KGB's agenda to promote anti-Zionism in the Middle East, and to basically frame the West for Israel's crimes, and actually the Jewish people's crimes, to sort of to pin it on the West and white people, it seems. So they've been very successful at that. And of course, if you look at all these anti-Zionist movements, they all have the same things in common. They push Marxist agendas, anti-Western agendas. They throw in a little bit of the anti-Jewish stuff, but it seems to be more directed against the West, specifically America. And then, of course, white people by if you take that to its logical end. So you look at all the, yeah, like I said, all these Zionist movements, anti-Zionist movements have these things in common. Of course, they all have, you know, they're dominated by leftists, they're dominated by Muslims. There's very few actual pro-Western people in the anti-Zionist movement, other than people that have been duped into this essentially leftist movement. So I think their Soviet agenda, or the Soviet-Israeli agenda, is to, because if you look back, there's a book called Red Cocaine that I have linked to on my blog. And in that book, the author documents that the book is basically about how the drug epidemic in the world is a KGB operation to drug up and thereby control the West. And I think we can kind of see that coming true, especially, you know, in Canada and the United States with all the drug epidemics. But the one of the things that the author documents is that if the Soviet operation were ever to be found out, they would direct it towards blaming the Chinese. So China was in on this. They were heavily in on this because a lot of the opium comes out of the Golden Triangle in southwestern China. So they agreed to basically take the fall should the operation ever become exposed. And so I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, well, what if Israel did the same thing, and they, as part of this joint, you know, world takeover with the Soviets, they agreed to take the fall should the Soviet world government plan ever be exposed. And I think that's exactly what's happening. They're willingly taking the fall for this, for, you know, the dissenters like ourselves who know what's going on. And so they're saying, well, okay, as long as they can direct their blame towards just Israel and leave Russia alone, or leave the Soviet Marxist agenda alone, that'll kind of, you know, control it, controlled opposition type of thing going on there. So right. It seems that, yes, that's what's going on.
Well, it's the anti-Zionist movement, it's totally, like you said, it's totally dominated by leftists, by Muslims who are basically in league with these leftists in the West promoting immigration. So when I really started to question the anti-Zionist thing, because, you know, we both got sucked into that at one point, but it's like, yeah. You realize that these Muslims are dishonest, and they're really, you know, totally willing to collaborate with Jews when it suits their own interest to do so. So we saw, you know, I did some research and found, you know, Muslim organizations are working with Jewish organizations to stamp out nationalism, to counteract white nationalism. And all these Muslims on the internet, these anti-Zionist Muslims who hate Israel and the West, they have nothing to say about the Kalergi plan, about massive immigration, about the anti-white sentiment coming out of the cultural Marxist left and the Jewish establishment's central role in promoting multiculturalism. They don't speak about those issues at all. In fact, they support those things because they are being used as the foot soldiers for this agenda, as the main immigrant group. So I really started to question these people, be like, you guys are basically, you want us to shill for you and your interests in the Middle East against Israel so you can get that land back and proclaim glory for Muslims. But then when we talk about immigration and the crimes committed by Muslim immigrants in the West, you call us racist, right? So I was like, these people are frauds, right? They're unprincipled, and they're just trying to use white people who have a guilt complex as Sabbath kafirs to execute their own agenda, and are willing to work alongside globalism and Jewish supremacists in order to do that, right?
Yeah. And these people that are getting sucked into this anti-Zionist movement, they can't figure that out when it's pretty apparent. You know, they're just this one-trick pony that just blames Zionism, and that's the end of it. It's like with Brendan O'Connell lately, his narrative seems to be, well, you know, as long as if we can destroy Israel, everything will fall into place and we'll live in this utopia. It's just that state of Israel that's the only problem.
Well, you notice that you notice that their logic is so flawed when it comes to false flag terrorism, right? So, they blame just about any terrorist attack that Muslims do. They say that it's a false flag done by either Israel or the West, or the CIA. And but then when there are usually these attacks are blamed on ISIS, so they're basically defending ISIS by denying that they did these attacks. But then there were numerous attacks in the Middle East, right, by ISIS, and they don't say that those are false flags. There was an attack in Iran on the parliament building in Iran. They blamed it on ISIS. None of these truthers were saying that's a false flag, right? There have been terrorist attacks in Russia blamed on Muslims and ISIS. They don't question those. They say it's legit. The attacks by ISIS in Syria, they say it's legit. So it's like when it suits their interest to shill for Russia and Iran and the Shiites and all this crap, they are willing to blame ISIS. But when the ISIS attacks a Western target, oh, we cannot admit that the West can be a victim of terrorism, so we have to call it a false flag, right? It's an anti-Western narrative.
Absolutely. And I just tell people, look, I mean, we know that the West is corrupt and we know our leadership is corrupt, but that doesn't mean we have to abandon it. I mean, that's what the East wants. They want us to, that's why they keep pushing. If you look at RT, well, they're always talking about how corrupt and how, constantly writing articles about leaders and their corruption. They just want to demoralize us.
Well, it's like these governments are corrupt, and their biggest target is white people who are being discriminated against openly in job hirings, and we're op it's open season to bash whites in the media and academia, and the immigration policies favor brown people. So they don't even point that out. They just say the West is evil because their attack supposedly, engage in military actions against Muslims in the Middle East and brown people. But let's not worry about all the anti-white policies of these Western governments. Let's not point those things out because they actually agree with those damn policies because it benefits them, right? So what do you think of George Galloway and Jeremy Corbyn? They're perfect examples of that, right?
Yeah, I don't pay too much attention to that part of the news, but what have you seen with those two characters?
Well, Jeremy Corbyn is the head of the British Labour Party. He's a far-left Marxist. He supports massive immigration and just about all of the social ills in Britain. And yet, at the same time, he's vehemently anti-Zionist and anti-American and anti-Western. And he loves Russia, and he loves Iran. He just loves anything that's not Western and sides with it in any international incident. Right, so and George Galloway is the exact same way. Pure anti-Zionist, hates whites, supports massive immigration, hates the fascists. He's an Antifa politician, and these people have all that they always have in common, that they're against Israel. Now, that doesn't mean that we should like Israel, but what it shows us is that that's a dead end, and it's been hijacked by these communists for their own agenda to destroy the West.
Yeah, absolutely. It's more of this Fabian socialist British, cryptocracy, just pushing the same old narratives. And if you follow, like I remember when I was sort of Russia cucked, I was buying into all the narratives from A to Z, which was, Syria good, Iran good, Russia good, West evil, Brexit good, like everything. It just you go right down the list, and they're getting all these talking points from Zero Hedge and alt-right cucks. Like, I mean, as much as I like Henry Mackow, he is promoting all these Soviet narratives of things. So people, go ahead.
What are some of those news outlets that those alt media news outlets that are totally Kremlin slanted?
Zero Hedge is probably the biggest one, I think. It's run by I believe he's a Eastern European bloc. Might be Jewish too, I'm not sure. But they're definitely run out of the Eastern Bloc. Then you have RT, of course, which people think that it's alternative media. I thought that too at one time. I was like, oh yeah, RT, it's alt media. Yet why are we seeing it on the big cable networks? You can buy a subscription to it, you know. So it's really no different than the Marxist Democracy Now or something like that with RT. But then you have Russia Insider. I wrote a piece on that. I think you retweeted it one time when you're on Twitter. So those guys, and you know, they all share the same talking points. They'll criticize Israel. They'll even criticize Jews to a degree, especially in the case of Russia Insider. So people think, well, that must mean they're on our side. You know, they fall for that whole gambit.
Right,
But then they don't.
that's like, Muslims hate Jews and hate Israel. That doesn't mean they're our friends, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I guess it's the fallacy of the enemy of my enemy is my friend, which is not necessarily true, and they sort of are taking
Well,
that.
what I noticed is that they've actually just swapped Russians for Jews as the chosen people who cannot be criticized. So it's like, you now in this alt media environment, you're allowed to criticize Jews. Because it's become popular to do so, it's become popular to blame everything on Israel. But at the same time, they've just turned Russia and Putin and Russians into the chosen people who will save us, who are infallible, right? Like any criticism of Putin is immediately dismissed as disinfo, right?
It's a good point, you know, because they come up with this term Russophobia. Well, where else have we heard anything with phobia attached to the end of it? From the left, right? So yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, it's just deflecting legitimate criticism, saying it's a phobia and has no merit. That's exactly what Jews do when they call you an anti-Semite. So it's like the Russian state is, these are old communist Marxist tactics that just deflect all criticism of their state. These same alt media hacks, they love everything's a conspiracy if it can be blamed on a Western politician or government, but nothing's a conspiracy if the Kremlin is involved. Right.
Yeah.
So, Putin doesn't assassinate political opponents. That's all lies. It's all this propaganda, blah, blah, blah. It's so crazy how deluded those people are. It's just like, they're robots, right?
Yeah, I guess it could also be a sign that we're maybe in the end game strategy here, because if Soviet Israel is willing to let the Israeli faction take the fall, they're just now about protecting the Soviet faction. That could be a sign. This is the end game.
Yeah, it's the alt media is like the mainstream media protects the Jews in Israel, whereas the alt media protects Russia and Putin, right?
Yeah,
It's
that's a
like
good point. Yeah.
it's amazing, and you have the same phenomenon with these white nationalists. You have, some of them, any hint, any sign of Jewish influence is immediately condemned when it's dealing with a Western politician, including Trump, who's pretty right-wing and nationalist, right? But then when it comes to Putin, all of his Jewish connections and ties are immediately written off as just window dressing. He's just doing this for show. He's really just he hates them, and he's gonna plan he's plan plotting against them secretly, guys. So don't worry about any of that stuff. It's just pure disinfo. These guys are just literally just denying undeniable evidence of Putin's philo-Semitism, right? He even put in a law against Holocaust denial, and they were making excuses for that shit, right? Saying, oh, well, it's not really against the Holocaust, it's against the Nuremberg trials, and it's all the same thing. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, these people have no argument from what I've seen. It's just pure, like, wishful thinking.
Man, you know, being in the Orthodox Church, I have an advantage in knowing about the whole Russian Orthodox Church, and I actually just came across an article today. The Moscow Patriarchate is sort of like the Pope of Russian Orthodoxy. His name's Kirill. You've heard of him, I'm sure. And he said there was it was the Remnant Rokor blog that caught a video of him saying that Muslims have the same God as Jews and Orthodox Christians. So this is completely, utterly heresy for him to say that. And it just, you know, it kind of supports my thesis that they're going to, you know, create this world religion, and they're going to have the reunification of
all these different, you know, fighting religious factions.
Well, Putin said Islam is closer to Russian Christianity than Catholicism and Western forms of Christianity. Dugin says that. All of these Russophiles say that. So they're making this Semitic Russian alliance against the West. And I've debated some of these Duginists on my YouTube channel, and they don't care. Like, they basically want that. They want to set up some kind of anti-Western alliance, while at the same time these people live in the West. They're just LARPers on the internet, right? They're playing dress up cosplay, you know. And it's just a clown show. Dugin is just a Looney Tune subversive, you know. He's calling for like the end times and the end of the world and shit, and he literally wants to provoke a world war so that this can happen.
Yeah, and you know, what's with guys like Michael Hoffman? You know, what was he? He was supporting the Nation of Islam. Like, what's the? And he thinks that, oh well, you know, Christians and Muslims need to unite against the common enemy, the Jew. Like, what the hell is that?
And he hates white nationalists. He condemns white nationalists, and says we're basically tools of the Jews or something, right?
Is that right, eh?
But the black nationalists are not. So why is it that these black nationalists, like Farrakhan, he's able to meet with Barack Obama? This guy has no problems, right? He's somewhat criticized because he's criticized Jews, but like, has a white nationalist, could he ever meet with a president? You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, good point. Black. Yeah, Hoffman's he's a questionable character for sure.
What's your take on him, though?
Well, from a religious point of view, like, it's hard to know. He seems to be some kind of a Protestant, although he seems to claim to be a Catholic, though he's never publicly admitted it. But he's very, I mean, his expertise is the Talmud, which he's very good on that. There's no denying that. But as far as theology or geopolitics, he's almost cucked on that. But, you know, and race as well, like the clergy plan. When has he ever talked about that? You know, when you get the geopolitics wrong, you're going to get stuff like clergy wrong too, because you can't see the bigger picture.
Yeah, and all these people happen to be tied in with Dugin in some way, shape, or form, right? What's your insight into Dugin?
Yeah, well, Dugin, Matthew North has a really good video on Dugin's ties with the occult. And he's a self-admitted national Bolshevik. He's you know, I guess the West or Western conservatives kind of view him as some kind of orthodox hero champion. That's, you know, and they play on words too, like they want to defeat liberalism, but when they're talking about liberalism, they don't mean the same thing that, you know, conservatives understand it to be. They're just talking about the Western way, really, when they say liberalism. So people are like, oh yeah, let's destroy liberalism, it's evil. Well, they're not talking about the liberal that you think it is. So they're getting deceived on that. But yeah, Dugin is seems to sort of be Putin's prophet. It's his sort of Marxist prophet. And he's appeals to, you know, the Western cucked conservatives. And I mean, I saw a picture of him with David Duke. What's that all about? Why would Duke be with this guy? I mean, I know Duke got his PhD in Ukraine or something like that, but just all these disturbing things.
Yeah, and he's Dugin's openly said in some of his writings, he's like, we need to depict the West as irredeemably evil and demonize it so much so that basically we have to recruit Westerners as suicidal, you know, saboteurs within their own countries. I mean, he's openly stating these things, and these idiots on the internet are going around and still praising this guy.
That's unreal.
And claiming that he only wants, like you said, he only wants to get rid of the bad elements in the West. It's a crock of shit, because there's quotes from him going back to the 90s where he was saying that he wants to replace Europeans with Eurasian nomads, Muslims and Turks and Chinese and so forth. He's on record stating that he supports, he hates whites, he hates Westerners, and he has nothing critical to say about Jews or Judaism. So how the hell is this guy our friend, right?
Yeah, I need to read his writings, just go through all of them and dissect them, because like you say, I mean, he just openly admits, they openly admit they're what they're going to do, but no one cares to read it or, you know, take it seriously. And it's all right there.
Yeah, I used to focus quite a bit on that on my YouTube channel, but I stopped lately just because it's really just a waste of time. I've basically exposed that angle, and really the only people I see who are still pushing this Dugin crap are these cranks like Jay Dyer, right? Mm-hmm. Like this guy is just like one of these pure Russophiles who effectively he converted to the Russian Orthodox religion, so now he's nothing more than some kind of global missionary for the Russian state. He's literally a tool of the Russian state, right?
Yeah,
and openly so.
Yeah, Dyer is he has, it seems that his bait is this low hanging Illuminati stuff that really is meaningless, and then people get sucked into that, and then he indoctrinates them with his Soviet Israel stuff. I'm not sure his stance on the Jews, but he's definitely a Soviet apologist.
Well, he never talks about Jews because he wants to keep his flashy little YouTube clickbait channel up, right?
Yeah, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
When I saw that guy, he's
gatekeeping for both.
What's that?
He's gatekeeping for both, then, it seems.
He's gatekeeping for the whole Soviet Israel thing. He's totally gatekeeping that whole angle. Any criticism of Russia, he denies it and will call you a NATO shill or a CIA agent, right? Which he has done to me numerous times. You go on Twitter and type in Brandon Martinez NATO shill, and then Jay Dyer will, his tweets come up, right?
Typical.
But he blocked me and refused any kind of dialogue on this because he knows he will lose that debate because his arguments are so weak.
Yeah, he blocked me as well, and I don't even think I ever talked to him. But yeah, he blocked me a long time ago.
So what do you think of these YouTube anti-Zionists like Adam Green and their direction? I've pointed out that they're too focused on Palestine and getting sucked into that angle. Yet they don't seem to be changing course, though.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I even warned, Adam had me on his show, probably a month ago or so. And I warned him. I said, you know, we can't be railroaded into this one-dimensional, one-trick pony anti-Zionist movement. It has to be, you know, that's not what it's about. You know, the Judeo-Masonic conspiracy is all-encompassing. It's not just one issue, like, you know, Israel and Palestine. So I warned him about that. And, yeah, I noticed that he's been focusing just on that sort of angle to it. And it's the wrong angle. Now that we've learned about, you know, at least now that I've learned about Operation SIG and the anti-Zionist movement is basically a KGB creation. It's just another tier of deception that people getting sucked into and directed.
Because ultimately it comes back to just blaming the West for everything, right?
Yeah, so exactly.
And that's exactly what these Eastern powers want. They want everybody to turn against the West in general so that we facilitate their own objectives of economic and global geopolitical dominance over these resource-rich regions. You know, these stupid chills on the internet, you know, one minute they love a politician, the next minute they hate him. It's like with that Erdogan guy. They hated him when he shot down the Russian jet, but then they loved him when he made the agreement with Russia afterwards.
Right? Yeah.
It's like the Russia Today media is so slanted. It's so fake, right?
Yeah.
They were pumping out the anti-Turkey stories when he shot down the jet, and then they totally reversed their narrative when Erdogan was shaking Putin's hand afterwards.
Yeah, it's sad. It's a sad state that that our ranks have sort of just been completely misguided, misdirected. But yeah, my article, "The Kremlin Directs the Anti-Zionist Movement on Behalf of Israel," that I wrote that before I knew about Operation SIG, so that just confirmed it. But yeah, basically, there I kind of lead the article with this these anti-Zionist leaflets that were dropped by Soviet or Russian planes in Syria, depicting I guess it was ISIS fighters being directed and controlled by Israel and America, so the West. And then Operation SIG reveals that, it's interesting because in the Soviet Union, people who had copies of the Protocols of Zion were shot and killed. But now, in the 1970s, with Operation SIG, we have the Russian government or the Soviet Union publishing and putting out the Protocols of Zion in these Arab countries to provoke the Arabs against the West, because now they're saying that, well, by that time, Zionism had been equated with the West, so that was just further ammunition. So yeah, like just this constant hypocrisy. Yeah, the protocols are bad one minute and then they're good the next, whatever suits the Soviet narrative for that, point in time.
What are some of the points you went through in that article?
It was back in January last year, or it was this year that I wrote that. Soviet agitation of the Muslim world achieved several goals, makes possible for creating Islamic terrorism and all these cells, the legitimate ones that there are. Linking Jewish oppression of the Arab world to the West to discredit the West. So these are basically all the points, all the stated goals of Operation SIG as well. And then just talking a little bit about the Arab leaders like Arafat, Abbas, they're all KGB. Assad, the Assad family's heavily involved with the KGB, yet Assad is some kind of a hero. Like these people, I don't know, like do they just get all their information from Zero Hedge and Russia Today and they don't learn about this, I'll post something.
Absolutely, they
Yeah, I mean, that has to be the only explanation because if you just read, I mean, yeah, they'll, oh, well, you post something from the Daily Mail about Mahmoud Abbas being involved with the KGB, and they'll, oh, well, that's the Daily Mail. That's mainstream news. I'm like, well, Russia Today is mainstream news. Why is your source more valid? Just because it comes from Russia?
Exactly. It's like they have this stupid mindset where anything that's Western and mainstream is false, and anything that's Russian and could be mainstream is true. It's just a stupid, one track line of thinking, right? It's like now there are bits and pieces of truth in all sources, and we just have to find those things. So they're just total shills for Russia, right? It's like, anything that makes them look bad is false and is propaganda. Anything that makes them look good is true, right? And it makes sense that the Russians would want to kind of covertly stoke anti-Zionists and Muslims up insofar as it benefits their war against America, and using Muslims, as Dugin says, as some kind of suicidal wave against the West. But ultimately, the target is not Israel. It is the West and it's America. And Dugin explicitly states that, and that's why he's friends with these stupid Israelis, and he has a following in Israel itself, and says he has no problem with Israel because his target is to kill white Westerners. And this is the thing about the Judeo-Masonic conspiracy. Like, this whole anti-Zionist thing is a total distraction because Muslims and Arabs are simply not a viable threat to Jewish power and never have been, because it's just a fact that they have lower IQs. They simply cannot compete with Jews and will lose that fight with Jews in the Middle East. Whereas whites, we are considered more of a competitor group to Jews because we have higher IQs, we're more intelligent, and
Exactly.
historically have done more. So they see us as a greater threat, hence the focus on promoting massive immigration, which these damn Arabs support, right?
Yeah, and whites have this proclivity towards high standards of living, and we're not going to be happy if we don't have that. So there's going to be, they realize that if we lose our standard of living, we're going to be very pissed off, and we're not going to put up with it. So they don't want that.
And as far as Muslim opposing Muslim Arab immigration, they bring, their own cultural baggage, their Islamic religion. They try to convert. They put up mosques everywhere. They're an eyesore, and they really produce absolutely nothing of benefit to our societies. But saying that will get you labeled a Zionist by these Muslim Islamophiles on the internet, right? They have all these videos of me being a Zionist shill, right? Zionist shill.
Yeah, I've seen those, yeah.
And it's like, basically, like, I have, it doesn't matter how much criticism you have Jews or Israel, is if you criticize Muslims, you're a Zionist shill, right? Because it's just like with the Russian people, Muslims, according to that stupid faction of the alt-media, Muslims are infallible victims, cannot be criticized, and then there's the Russophiles that say Russia is infallible, cannot be criticized, right?
Yeah, and I saw those videos of you, and there's no points in them. It's just all, they try to have this, pretend they're revealing the smoking gun, but there's nothing there. And the same with Brendan O'Connell, he's criticized you too, and about the only thing he can say is, well, he doesn't even, in his ignorance, he doesn't even realize that Martinez is not exclusive to Latin America. It's, Spanish too. And so he's trying to say that, oh, Brendan Martinez, what is he, some Mexican, posing as a white or something?
Right. It's just stupid,
ridiculous.
Stupid ad hominem attack. And it's just hilarious because, he's supposed to be the anti-racist, yet he's claiming that, or he's trying to throw this out there that's Martinez is not a white name or something. Just one, it's ignorant. It's pure Spanish Castilian name. And second, he's supposed to be the anti-racist here. So for him calling someone not white enough is just hilarious, right? And those videos are all they do is they just take statements that you made from like 5 years ago when you were on a different research track, and then compare it with what you're saying now when you have a new perspective based on new information. That doesn't prove you're a shill in any way, shape, or form, but these stupid conspirators on the internet, apparently that's all they need to call someone a shill, right?
Yeah, and there's so many of them, and they're just either they're hell-bent on infighting or they're operatives trying to cause infighting, one or the other, I guess.
Well, the person who made that video is a Muslim himself, and his whole channel is dedicated to just slandering anyone who criticizes Islam and the alt media as a Zionist show. So,
who's this?
That channel is called Verdant Servant, who put out those videos, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's a straight up Islamic channel, like of course, right?
Yeah. So he's accusing you of being a Zionist show. That's interesting.
Well, yeah, because you have to support massive Muslim immigration and the Islamization of the West, or you're a Zionist shill. It's just a stupid shaming tactic. They use the same shaming tactics as the Jews, right? The Jews, you're an anti-Semite if you criticize anything negative about Judaism or Israel, and these Muslims do the exact same thing. You're an Islamophobe if you criticize anything negative about Islam and their agenda. So they have a very similar Semitic totalitarian outlook on freedom of speech and criticism of their backwards cultures, right?
Yeah, it's a total Islamic, or I guess Soviet, hijacking of the movement. Like we're talking with Adam Green, kind of just pushing that one angle. But what are your thoughts of David Duke? Like, he's being photographed with Dugin. He's really pushing. Like, when I go to his Twitter feed, I see a lot of anti-Zionist, pro-Palestinian stuff, pro-Russian stuff, of course. But, back in the day, Duke used to kind of focus more on non-Zionist issues like clergy or, Jewish power in the media or the mafia or stuff like that. What do you think of him?
Yeah, just one point on the other thing is basically Arabs are just like these useful idiots for both Jews and Russians in their different ways, right? And then you have, Duke, he's been kind of sucked into the Russia, the Russophile. He's just an old boomer, and he doesn't really do that much research, right? So he just takes the headlines off of RT and these alt-media sources about geopolitics and stuff. And I think he went to Syria once and gave a speech under Assad, so he like has some kind of love affair going on with them.
Right, I remember that, yeah.
They stroked his ego, so he's going to shill for them politically now.
So didn't he meet with Ahmadinejad too? Or was that somebody else?
Yeah, he went to the Iran Holocaust Conference.
Right, right.
So he likes those Arabs just because they're anti-Jew, but it's like, yeah, they're anti-Jew, but they're also anti-white at the same time. So who cares if they're anti-Jew? It doesn't mean anything for us.
Yeah.
I mean, the Nation of Islam is anti-Jew. They're also anti-white.
Someone needs to tell Michael Hoffman that, unless he already knows. Unbelievable. Just stuff I never would have imagined happening is happening with these people. Like, they're just total sellouts.
It really comes down to the trajectory of media sources. It's like, why can't these people, you know, come to their own fucking conclusions once in a while with their own research and their own sources and their own intuition? Why is it they just parrot anything that they see on some alternative news website?
Yeah, and you know, it's, they're kind of stuck in this trap of, well, you know, all of Jewish power is concentrated in the state of Israel, when it's not. I mean, Jewish power is concentrated in the liberal movement and communism and socialism and Marxism, and you know, the powerhouse behind that is Russia. So they got their focus in all the wrong places, and you know, the Soviets are laughing, they're having an easy time with directing it.
Yeah, and it seems like it's interesting how these new politicians, these populists, they all have this same thing going on, where like Jeremy Corbyn and George Galloway, who are Marxists and they are also pro-Russian and pro-Arab, pro-Palestinian and anti-Israeli, you have some of these populist politicians like Marine Le Pen and Salvini coming up who are basically against immigration, but they're also extremely pro-Russian and they're pro-Israel. So there's this weird thing going on where it's like, if you're anti-immigration, well, you have to then be a shill for Russia and Israel. But if you're for immigration, you can be anti-Israel, but you have to support Russia's also, and the Arabs.
Completely ignoring the facts that Russia is a multicultural state, has the humongous Muslim population, and you know, been supporting the clergy plan and the, you know, all these UN directives.
No, those are the good Muslims.
Yeah.
I've heard that argument literally when I pointed that out, because most of these people who push this Putin worship stuff have no fucking clue what the hell's going on over there, because they're completely ignorant, right? They're living in the West in an information bubble. They don't read Russian sources because of the language barrier. They just get RT, what the approved official script of the Kremlin. But it's like they hide all those faults of Russia, like the Muslim thing, right? None of these white nationalists even knew that that was real until I posted like a bunch of videos of like 2 million Muslims in Moscow praying in the streets.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, people would come onto my website and say, oh, well, multiculturalism is better in Russia. It's more harmonious. Yeah, that's why there was a war. There was two wars with Chechnya over that. There's terrorist attacks all the time over that. There's race riots. Yeah, it's a lot more harmonious over there, so it's better.
Yeah, it's a complete delusion. I actually just started reading Alexander Litvinenko's book on that, Blowing Up Russia. He's talking about how the Soviets were, or well, Russia was, and Putin were using this whole Chechnya issue to scare the people, and then the FSB got caught planning these false flag attacks, which was actually a precursor to 9/11. It all happened in the fall of 1999, coincidentally too. But that's another story.
But none of these so-called false flag truthers want to look into investigate that, because it doesn't suit their current objective to glorify Russia.
Yeah, it's only the West that does false flag attacks. Nobody else. The West and Israel, I guess. Nobody else says false flags.
Well, these Kremlin shills actually try to deny the evidence of that and spin all kinds of, like, propaganda stories to deny it, right? So, like, yeah. It's the same with any of these assassinations around Putin, right? Like, Litvinenko was assassinated. There was numerous other people assassinated very recently, right? The Skirpal, well, they tried to kill the Skirpals. Many other dissidents have been killed in Russia and outside of Russia. And every time these stupid Kremlin bots on the internet are like, that was just a false flag to make Putin look bad because he doesn't kill anybody because he's a saint, right?
Yeah. No matter what happens, they can always twist it in his favor.
The most amazing one was Nemtsov, the opposition politician over there in Russia.
Yeah.
He was assassinated, you know, cold-blooded hit on the right next to the Kremlin. Like, how could you spin this as anything other than a hit from the Kremlin? Like, who could have done this, right? It's literally on a road that is supervised by the FSB, right? And these idiots on the internet were trying to claim that the Ukrainians did it as a false flag to make Putin. It's just the most friggin' messed up crap, like, to deflect attention. And then they arrested the people who did this attack. They happen to be Chechens. And they said their motive for the attack, they said Nemtsov was a prostitute of the West and a traitor to Russia, so wow. We killed him. And the leading gunman was in the Kadyrov Chechen police force. Kadyrov is Putin's, yeah, like, puppet there, right? Like, it's just the most Chechnya obvious is now, thing.
Yeah, that's incredible. I didn't know that they said that about Nemtsov, but it's Chechnya after the two wars and all the false flagging. They're now a satellite of the Soviet Union, so, or of Russia. So,
well, it's funny because they tried these liars on the internet, like these conspirators who blame everything on the CIA. That Nemtsov guy was like a critic of Putin's policy in Ukraine and put out papers exposing like the military involvement of Russia and Ukraine. And then they tried to claim that Ukraine killed this guy. This guy was like on their side, basically, right? It's just amazing the kind of disinfo they got on the internet coming from Kremlin people.
Yeah, and that's another narrative that the so-called, you know, truther movement puts out. It always just happens to coincide with the Russian narratives of Ukraine being this evil Soros puppet state. You know, like, oh yeah, Soros, and they never talk about Soros escaping the Nazis with the help of the Soviets. They always just say, well, no, Soros is just this American liberal, that's it. And he's Jewish too. Oh, but don't talk about his past.
Right, because Soros said some critical things about Putin, so therefore Putin is the saint. Yeah, Soros talks bad about Trump too. That doesn't mean Trump's our savior and hero either.
Right? Yeah, exactly, yeah. And yeah, and Putin makes a point of, and you know, it's so cheesy because the stuff that Putin says about Soros is so superficial and there's no depth to it. It's obviously just being put out to create this fake, you know, hatred of Soros when they're probably working together. You know, if he was KGB back then, I'm sure Soros is still KGB. So.
Yeah, everything they Putin puts out, it seems to be just scripted to win over these audiences, right? So he will throw out some dog whistles to these conservatives, to these traditionalists, to Christians, to Muslims, to anti-Zionists, to Zionists. Like, he says so many contradictory things. Like, he one minute he's praising Israel and says he supports Israel, and the next minute he's criticizing Israel. It's like, he's just a fucking snake who's just putting out all these like contradictory statements to win over all these different people and confuse them.
Yeah, it's that hyper-normalization chameleonic hybrid tactic where you assume all positions so you're always the right guy for everyone. But then really it's just a bunch of confusing, misleading trails that lead to nowhere.
Exactly, and it's just designed to put all these dummies in the West into a stupor so that they betray their own states and become spies for those countries, right?
Yeah, that's where we're at now, it seems. All these You know, yeah, I mean, it's easy to hate the West when you see that we're being taken over by, you know, Marxism and feminism and all this crap, but we can't abandon it. It needs to be purified. It needs to be, you know, rehabilitated. But if we abandon it, then it's completely over. We might as well just, that's just suicide.
Right. So that's a point I made in a recent video I made about the MGTOW movement. It's like a lot of these alt-righters hate MGTOW because, you know, these are guys that are refusing to get into a relationship with modern feminist type women in the West. Yet these same people in the alt-right tell us that Russia's our only salvation because feminism has taken over. So which is it, you know? Do we get into relationships with these feminist women or not, right? Do we run to Russia or do we stay in the West? So like they're just confused about what they're suggesting as a solution to this.
Yeah, just a bunch of misled sheep.
What do you think about the alt-right in general and Richard Spencer's role in that?
You know, I don't pay too much attention to those guys, and same with this Tommy Robinson and Patrick Little. I don't really pay any. I don't know much about them. I mean, I've seen a few things about them, but yeah, I couldn't comment.
Well, what was interesting and reason why some of these alt-righters basically didn't like me and kept me at bay and refused to interview or debate me on this issue, because I did request a debate from Eric Stryker numerous times and he denied it. So Spencer's wife was a Duganist, a Russian woman who was pumping out the Dugan propaganda, and Spencer was just parroting all of those talking points and glorifying Russia as our savior, as the savior of the white race, as the hero. So you see that Russia is depicted as a savior of not only of the white race, but of Palestinians, of Muslims, of just about everybody, right? They're going to save the whole world. Yeah. And there's always a little dog whistle that they can point to justify their claims.
Yeah, I guess, oh, what's his name? The guy, the Swedish guy with the Russian wife, I guess he's sort of a similar situation, yeah? Red Ice Radio, Henrik Palmgren. Doesn't he have a Russian wife?
Right. It's funny because they actually basically blacklisted me from Red Ice Radio based on these positions that I have. So, like, there's so much dogmatic think in that whole movement, right? It's like they just block out anyone who has a different opinion on that and refuse to debate it, yet at the same time claim they're like these great intellectuals who have the best arguments. But clearly they don't, because they refuse to debate me about this Russia issue. I don't focus on it as much anymore because I've kind of harped on it for a while, but you know, they are on their radio shows promoting this all the time. Okay, if our salvation is in Russia, then why are these people still living in the West and propagating their ideas from a comfortable life in the West, right? Why don't they leave?
Yeah, and you know, it has similarities to the old Soviet trust model, where they were, you know, when the Soviets took over and a bunch of people fled, they were, you know, saying, "Oh, come back, you know, we'll grant you amnesty," you know, and a lot of the people did go back, and they ended up getting executed or put in the gulags. So, you know, it's very similar to that, it seems, although they're probably not executing people as openly and as much today, but they have to be careful. But yeah, it seems like they're just repeating old scripts, old Leninist scripts, and it's working on people.
Well, it's sad. It's funny because like these guys in the alt-right will glorify Russia based on this perception that it is less feminist and their women are better in some way. But like, isn't the whole Russian wife, like, why, if it's so much better, why are these Russian women like prostituting themselves out as mail order brides just to get out of there? Yeah. And what are those mail order brides? They are gold diggers, obviously, right? It's like if you don't make $150,000 a year, you don't get yourself a nice Russian bride, right?
Yeah, and you know, they may not be as feminist as we are here, but you know, Russian women and Slavic women, you know, they come from the Soviet system, so a lot of them are really screwed up, and they can often be irrational and crazy. And there's some good ones, of course, but you know, they have their own problems. So it's sort of a toss up. Like you get a feminist woman, or you get this crazy, you know, someone who grew up in the Soviet system and you know, grew up in poverty. There's no ideal alternative, it seems.
Yeah, it's, you know, they either a feminist or they're psychotic. So take your pick, right?
Yeah.
Or a gold digger, or you know, unstable in some way. So it's like, okay, if that's their idea, they should go over there, get themselves one of these perfect Russian wives, and see how they like it. But they refuse to do that because they're just talking shit on the internet.
Yeah, something they read, and all of a sudden they're an expert.
Feminism, though, a lot of this started with the Soviets. I mean, weren't they the first women's liberators, right?
Women's rights. It's something I have to explain to a lot of people, because they often use the same excuse that, oh, well, look at, you know, Russia and the East Bloc today. They're anti-immigration, anti-feminist, they're anti-this and that. And it's like, well, wait a minute, though. Who can take credit for that? Well, Stalin can, or Lenin can, because these are carryovers from the Soviet Union times. You know, for example, with Poland and Hungary's anti-immigration positions, those are carryovers from the Soviet times. They were anti-immigration then too. So, but the way that, you know, Western conservatives are framing it is that, oh, well, no, they've reformed. These are new. You know, they changed from the Soviet times, but they're not new if you actually do the research. Same with feminism too. You know, that it was like in the Soviet Union, like you say, they brought in the feminism, they brought in the LGBT stuff. But once they had achieved the complete destabilization of Russia in order to take it over, they were like, okay, well, we don't really need these, you know, these tactics anymore. We can sort of tighten them up. So socially they went conservative with a lot of those things, because in order to keep the Soviet Union stable, you needed to have these social conservative values. They were smart enough to realize that. So that kind of gets left out of the picture when people talk about, you know, the origins of feminism and all this stuff.
Well, it's the same logic behind why Jews support massive immigration, multiculturalism in the West, but then don't support it for Israel, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It makes political sense for Russia to actually covertly support things that destabilize the West, such as these ultra-leftist policies, while at the same time feigning itself as some alternative to that, so that we support them in some way, or glorify them, or help them, so that it just helps them. Like, Putin doesn't give a damn what, you know, how our countries go, you know, what's happening. He just wants them to be weak so he can be strong. And we are weak when those socially liberal, pro-LGBT, feminist, homosexual stuff is promoted. And he can maintain Russia somewhat stronger if he just sort of limits some of that in the country itself, right?
Exactly. And, you know, even commentators like even Michael Jones, they can't see this. I'm trying to tell these guys, look, this is a tactic to destabilize the West and maintain stability in the Soviet Union, or the neo-Soviet Union. So they can't figure it out. I don't understand why not.
And it's totally exaggerated. I just saw a thing from Poland saying they're going to accept 100,000 Filipino immigrants. I saw, in Russia, there is large scale immigration from Central Asia, Muslim countries. The reason that there's not like this massive kind of influx of people going there is because the standard of living is pretty dismal, right? It's not a great country to live in. So these migrants are simply not attracted to those countries. So they've kind of been saved by the fact that they have a lower standard of living and kind of are living in like communist economics, breadline type crap going on over there. So that saved them in that way, but they still have this huge Muslim problem, and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
they've embraced it. Putin loves Muslims. He inaugurated that giant mosque in the middle of Moscow.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. You know, now we have the Russian Orthodox patriarch saying we all worship the same God, which is completely heretical. I mean, he's KGB. You probably know that the Kirill is KGB. But yeah, it's no surprise there.
No. The KGB are the good guys. It's only the CIA that does bad things. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Don't be a shill. So, do you have any projects coming up for your website? Any articles you're working on?
I'm just doing some more research, some more reading. I'm going to stick with the Soviet-Israel narrative of things because it's the most important thing, I think, from a geopolitical perspective. Yeah, I got to finish my Trump series. I'm going to do another final part to that. I don't know if you ever came across that, but I named it Trump Controlled by the Mossad, but in hindsight, I would probably have rename it to something else like Soviet-Israel or something, or Mossad KGB, but. Yeah, I'll do another conclusion to that series, and I'm going to talk about what we have just been talking about, how I'm going to do the research and you know, have some facts to back it up, but how the immigration positions and the LGBT positions of the Bloc and Russia have not changed essentially since Stalin. So, yeah, that'll take some research to do that.
Yeah, apparently Stalin was the good guy. According to our great friends in the Kremlin-controlled alternative media, right?
Yeah, they're totally rewriting all that stuff. Yeah, how you know?
Doesn't that totally show you the total Russian influence in the alternative media, where they're now telling us that Stalin was great? You know?
Oh it's yeah. Like,
of course they say that. These are freaking Russians telling us this stuff, right?
Yeah, it's unbelievable that people are buying into this. Like. 20 years ago, they would never have bought it. They would have laughed at that.
And by the way, there are plenty of good actual Russian nationalists that agree with us on these points, and one of them is actually going to write for my website. So, you know,
yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah, this isn't about Russian people. This is about the Kremlin and the leadership. And, you know, the Russians are just as much victims as we are of active measures. So.
And just the false hope that this KGB officer is going to save us in any kind of way. I mean, we've waited 20 years for him to save us, and what has he done to save us, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's, so I'll focus on that, and then I hope to do more interviews like this, and maybe I'll do some of my own podcasts, too, eventually. Yeah, it's, as you know, things are getting harder to do. We're kicked off of YouTube. I've been locked out of my Twitter account now, so I probably won't be on that much longer. And Gab is sort of, it's kind of hard to get any traction going on Gab, but.
Yeah, and I haven't been able to get anything going on Gab. I have a bunch of followers just because I added so many people as friends, and then they're automatically following you back, but. It's just a nothing plot. You can't get any hits off of that.
Yeah, it's not like Twitter, which was far wider audience on there.
That's why I'm putting 100% of my effort straight into my website now. Everything will be uploaded there. Videos, audio, articles. I'm going to send all the hits. If people want to see what I have to say, they have to come straight to my website. I'm not going to send them off to YouTube and give them the hits.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
So if you ever wanted to write an article for my site, I'd be happy to publish it in the future.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'll give it.
All right. Sure. So we're going to end it there. Tell people, where can they find you and your work now?
My blog is fitsinfo.wordpress.com, and I'm on Gab and BitChute. I'm on Twitter, too, but like I said, I've been locked out, so I don't know if I'll ever get back on there. They're trying to get me to give up my mobile number, and I'm not going to do it, so.
Give us your mobile number, and we will
send
the Antifa to your house.
Yeah, and they just said that, you know, there was suspicious activity recorded, and there wasn't. And all of a sudden, they're asking for my phone number.
The suspicious activity recorded is that you posted an article that showed Jews in an unfavorable light, right?
Probably, yeah.
Twitter, Facebook, they're all dead. YouTube is dead. I'm done with these stupid websites, they're all just run by Jews or leftists, Marxists, and, yeah. and they will shut you down. It's that simple.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we'll end it there. This has been another special podcast. This podcast number 2, the Martinez Perspective on alt-right.com. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And please follow me. You can put your email in, and you will get instant updates on my website. Take care, everyone.